Jesus said this. He said, the way that we were on was a straight and narrow way. He did. He said it was a straight path. And He said, few there be that find it. I mean that it wasn't just the whole world couldn't jump on it. You had to get on a straight and narrow path. But then David said this. He said, you've placed my feet in a wide area to dwell in. Well, which is it a straight path or is it a wide, big, wide place? Once you make the decision to give it all you've got, then it feels like you got all the world around you. You, that pressure that makes you want to cave in to the flesh, it feels like you got plenty of elbow room to move around in. Hallelujah. Once you go ahead and make the decision, I'm going to walk this walk, then it feels like all of His grace is available for you. So you got plenty of room. Well, what happens is what we're after is the revival that an atmosphere is just so conducive that you just live almost in a bubble of His glory all the time. That's what we're seeking. That's what we're fighting for. Because whether you know it or not, it's like what we're up against is like the barometric pressure. You can't feel it, but it's in this room. It's pressing down on you. On a real sunny day when a high pressure system comes through and it's, you can just see all the way and things lighten up and it's cold outside and you feel light. It's because there's less pressure on your body. On a rainy day or clouds, it's because something's pressing down on you. It's called the barometric pressure. People get depressed even. Well, in the spirit realm, what we're fighting against is this. What you've got to know is that it's something that on a continual basis, it's called the scourge of the world. It's called the scourge of the world. And you can have the best intent in the world about going on the straight and narrow, but unless you get the pressure of it off of you. Jesus came to Peter. Peter said, no, don't. You're not going to wash me. And He said, if I don't, you don't have anything to do with me. And then He said, well then, no. He said, wash my hands, wash my head, wash every part of me. But Jesus said, no, Peter. No, he that's clean doesn't need to be washed all over, except that his feet be washed. What He was saying was, you need to have your feet washed to commemorate what we're doing as a oneness of fellowship here. But he was speaking of this. You can be born again, which Peter was about to be. But as long as you live in this world, you're going to pick up on your feet as you walk through this life. The scourge of the world. You're not even asking for it. What you see, what you hear, what's around about you. And if you don't, on a daily or a very often time kind of basis, go in and kind of equalize the pressure. If the pressure of the world is pushing on you harder than the pressure on the inside, you'll be like one of those Coke cans they show where they just put it under air pressure and it just squeezes down to nothing. He said, you don't have to be washed all over. You don't have to be born again every day. But you do need to have the scourge of the world washed off of you. You've got to understand this, that there is a pressure coming against you as a born again believer just going forward. And you didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. It may not even have anything to do with your weaknesses. But it'll absolutely accent your weaknesses. It'll bring them to the forefront. That's not what God sent to bring to your forefront. He wants to pull your weaknesses out in prayer. He doesn't want to expose them through your pressure. But this is what happens. People don't know how. And if they do know how, sometimes they want to tend to it. So they live under that pressure until they just bust. Run off and have 3 days of wild, crazy, just trying to get it off of their flesh. And they'll get some kind of relief. Let me tell you something. It's not supposed to work that way. It's supposed to be this, that every Christian who is a believer, if you're born again, you will feel this pressure. It is the pressure of the world. It's the scourge that Jesus said needs to be washed off of you. There's a way in the Spirit through His anointing that every day you can equalize the pressure on the outside by the pressure that's pushing and exerting more on the inside. It'll push it off of you, and you can walk around in this bubble feeling like the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you will cave in. You will cave in and you will submit if you don't find the path that every day washes it off. Glory be to God. Masakede, have you found the path? Oh, we have found the path. It is His anointing that breaks the yoke. Masiprotiata. Mendelefroso. I love you, Jesus. He wouldn't bring that up if there wasn't some of you under pressure. Under pressure. You can go two ways with it. You can cave into the flesh, or you can exert the kind of glory that causes it to go some other way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Menstola prosele. You ever feel it, Pastor? Oh, more times than you can count. I've just got to be an expert on how to get it off of me. Hallelujah. I know how to get it off of me. Hallelujah. 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 So Matt's going to play something. And then we're going to come, any of you that feel like this isn't an admission to guilt, it's an admission to pressure. Hallelujah. And I know how to get it off. And how to go on. See, you're supposed to wake up and feel like you've got plenty of elbow room to live this life and live out your salvation. And then you feel like you can't do it. What you're going to do is you're eventually, if you live under that too long, you'll do something you're ashamed of. Hallelujah. There's a way to get it off of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. So if you're, we're going to stand all of us together. If you're feeling that, the barometric pressure in the Spirit is pressing down on you, then you can come and stand. And I believe He'll do a work. Hallelujah. Before you leave here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I think you just need to help me just for a minute. Just lift those hands. I worship you, Jesus. You are worthy to receive praise and glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. To get the opportunity to get that stuff off of us on a daily basis is just fun. To be not drunk with wine, whereas in its excess, but here's the alternative. Be filled with the Spirit. He said, "This understand this, the will of the Lord for you. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess," meaning any substance or any kind of outside thing that you try to bring in to sedate yourself, to try to coping mechanism. Even things that the world looks at like, it's okay. Things you look at, things you watch. He said, don't think that there's anything that can fulfill you. He said, but here's the alternative. Be not drunk with wine. And that could symbolize a lot of different things that you needed to use to get the pressure off. Because the guy that's getting drunk with wine, it's not so much that he had to, that he just absolutely loved the taste of it. What he needed was, he needed what it did for him to relieve the pressure. He needed to relieve the pressure. Because otherwise he starts thinking about what a jerk he's been. And how many people he's failed. And how much he's hurt this one. And how he's not succeeded. And how it looks like his life is doomed to go on a continual chase of failure after failure after failure. Well, people under a whole lot of pressure, they look for a way out. And even Mr. Straight at the bank that looks like he's, tie and suit and everything. He'll look that way and he'll have everybody's, he'll be managing millions of dollars. And yet on the weekend, he's a weekend warrior. He's trying to get that stuff off of him. Stock market guys, the guys that stand on the floor and scream, they say they don't last, but sometimes they don't last 2 or 3 years because the pressure is so strong on them. But what they do is on the weekends, most of them either got a cocaine habit or they got something going on the side. They got to get it off of them or their mind just goes bonkers on them. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But here's the alternative. God knew that living in this life, even after you were born again, this is His way of escape. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and making melody in your heart. Once you begin to pray and sing in the Spirit and worship God, there could and would come a high from heaven, that there's no drug, there's no ecstasy, there's no thing that anybody could hook you up with that could even begin to match the high that kind of high puts you on. And when you get done with it, you feel good about yourself. Hallelujah. You say, I want some more of that. Oh, I want some more of that. I want some more of that. Hallelujah. Kistolo proto. It'll get so addictive. It'll get so addictive. Talk about a junk food junkie. People that hide, get up in the middle of the night to eat a box of Twinkies with a glass of milk.
You talking to my wife?
Hiding them in closed drawers and so the kids won't find them. Debbie cakes. I haven't been talking to anybody. I'm just prophesying. I'm just prophesying. But you get to walking with Him and get highs in the Spirit. This is what Paul was saying. He said, because of the infirmity of your flesh, I speak to you in this wise. Even as you gave yourself over to the flesh, take a lesson from the flesh. Once you did the dictates of the flesh, because the flesh, once you start giving into it, it has no end. The flesh will tell you this, just do it one time and I'll leave you alone. Just do this weekend and I'll leave you alone. It's a liar. When it gets, it wants more. And then it says, I promise, I swear, something says, this will be it. I'll get it out of my system and I won't worry about it anymore. Then I can serve God. It is a liar. When it's indulged, it just wants more. But you go the other way. You begin to worship and open up the Word of God. You'll find telephone booths to jump inside like Superman to open the Word of God for 5 minutes on your lunch break. You'll find a shade tree to drive your pickup under just to sit there for 20 minutes and worship God and pray in tongues. You'll find those inopportune and opportune times where you can run into God and find His peace in the midst of the storm. And hallelujah, you'll find out He is faithful. Hallelujah. He is faithful. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. It is what you feed. It's what you feed. I remember an old story. A man that had lost his wife and he was old and elderly. And you know, when you get way up there and you lose that companion and all the kids are out of the house, you usually don't last long because loneliness kills you. So he said, I need a companion. So he said, I know what I'll do. He went and bought a dog. Then fell in love with the dog. And the dog started giving him companionship and he'd spend time with the dog. But something was missing. He still felt like something was missing. So he said, I need something to just satisfy my peace. And he said, go again to the pet shop, see what I can find. Maybe there's something that can solidify or bring a placidness to this troubled water on the inside of me. So he went down and he's walking through there and found this beautiful dove. He could hear its melodious sound as it's cooing, and he thought, boy, wouldn't that be beautiful? So he bought the dove, brought it home. Every morning that dove would be cooing when he'd get up. And every evening it'd coo and do whatever doves do. And it was had a melodious kind of sound that just soothed something inside of him. Something happened. He began to spend time with that dove and let it sit in his study. And he'd read his books and he'd listen to that dove with a dog. Began to notice. He noticed that this man was getting something from that dove that he wasn't getting previously with the dog. Something began to rage on the inside of that dog. The man found out by observation, this dog began to get real aggressive towards the dove. Real aggressive. To the point that he found out he could not leave them alone in the same room, because every time he did, the dog tried to destroy, tried to eat, take over, and overpower the dove. Jealousy raged in this monster of a dog, because he was seeing some kind of fellowship with this dove that he did not have earlier with the dog. One day, the old man walked in the study. He found the dog standing over the dove. Dove half eaten, feathers everywhere. Still breathing, still alive. Picked up the dove. His heart sunk because this was the only joy that he was getting. The only joy he was getting. He put it safely away, hid it safely away in some room of the house where he could doctor it and care for it. But he found out that because of his age and because of the strength and the overpowering strength of this dog, that it was a constant care to try to keep them separated. And he found no way, hardly, to keep this dog from devouring this dove. And he thought and he thought and he thought, I'm too old and I'm too weak to do anything about this dog. Eventually, one day, the demise of this dove will take place. I'll find it totally destroyed. And he pondered, what will I do? What will I do? What will I do? He finally came to a great resolve. The next morning, when he had the power, the only power this old man had, certainly was not to grab this 100-pound bulldog and wrestle him out of the house. He couldn't have done it. He only had one power. He was the caretaker of both the dog and the dove and what they ate. The next morning, when the dog went to his dish to eat, there was nothing there. Nothing poured out. He went and ministered to the dove and fed it its seed and water. The next day, the dog was doing okay. He's still trying to overpower and eat the dove. This went on day after day. And day after day, he met an empty dish. An empty dish. The thing continued to happen until the dog found day after day there was nothing to feed him, nothing to nourish him. And he began to grow weak. Weak and weaker, while the sounds of the dove grew stronger and stronger and stronger. There came a day when even the old man in his age and his feebleness was able to take this dog that could barely stand, and take him and lead him to the front door. And with hardly any effort at all, he let him out and put him out and closed the door behind him. And that's where he stayed, outside of any kind of influence against this man or against that which fed him. The moral of the story is this. whatever you feed lives. And whatever you don't feed dies. You say, I've got trouble with that part of my flesh. Don't go there then. Don't do that then. Don't spend that time. But if you spend time making melody in your heart before the Lord, you'll find something inside of you is dying while something inside of you is growing stronger. And there'll come a day where it won't be. You'll be struggling to try to conquer yourself. It'll be just as easy as just saying a simple, nope. Don't think I'll do that anymore. Well, it has power. It's a big bad thing. No, it's a big bad bulldog now because somebody is feeding it. You stop feeding it, it'll not only not have its bark, it won't have its bite, and you can lead it to the door and it will always stay gone. Hallelujah. What you feed will grow. Hallelujah. Whew. Do you know, even if you're feeding something, you know this. Even when you're feeding something, 1,000 grace lines won't get it off of you. You can have me, Billy Graham, Dave Roberson, Benny Hinn, and Jesus Christ Himself laying hands on you. But as long as you keep feeding it, we can't make it go away. Glory be to God. The moment you say, I'm going to feed my inner man, I'm going to feed that dove some word, and I don't think I'm going to feed that today, even as much as I did, just cutting it off as much as you can, eventually, whew. Hallelujah. Good word, good word, good word. Hallelujah. Was I supposed to do something else? You guys made me do this. Hallelujah. I exalt you, Jesus. Isn't He wonderful? He loves us so much. Incredible His love. Incredible His love. Jesus. Please continue to pray for my sister, you intercessors, all of you that hear. All of you that can hear me now, please continue to pray for her. These are difficult days. And also, please, and I will do this for you. I will pray for you as individuals and do. But I'm not talking about the prayer that most people do. To all of you that have ears to hear, I'm asking you to pray for me. I continue to be at a door, and spending those hours, I can tell you this, it's unfamiliar places. Now, why would you pray for me? Well, I think, one, you'd pray because you love me. But the other thing is, my profiting will profit you well. My profiting and going forward is beneficial to you. That door that I'm talking about, I don't have anybody. I have a few that are teaching me. But I am convinced of this. I am more today convinced of this. And all of you that pray know this. This revival that we're asking for, I say if we receive it, and I say it with the utmost of faith, we will. But the if only has something to do with our tenacity and our going forward. But you must understand this, and you all that pray know this. There is only one way, one door to that place of the supernatural. And it has to go through the way of prayer. Works will not get us there. Redefining or well-defined operation will not get us there. A well-defined operation will happen after the birth of this. But somebody, please, please, come with me. And I'm praying with you, but push me through. sponsor me through. If I can say that, sponsor me through, because my profiting will profit you. Hallelujah. There's no other way. I've tried. There is no other way except through excessive hours in His presence. Because this is a door that nobody can teach you how to go through. In fact, pray for me that I die, that my flesh die daily. And when I say that, I'm not talking about so much in the moral sense. I think pretty much all that is good. The moral and the love for people. I'm talking about the flesh that dies, that just allows Him to conquer those places and bring you into a room. Most of this is a place. It's accessible, but it's difficult when you've never been somewhere. It's an orientation process. And the flesh has to die, just almost like a drowning person. You have to go ahead and drown. It's like my effort abates me sometimes. And yet I have to put forth, I don't know if this makes sense, but it will to the intercessors. I have to put forth the effort in prayer, but my effort, almost sometimes my want to, there's coming a place where I'm going to drown in His overflow. And I'm going to be yielded so much that I won't even be thinking about what's happening to me, nor where I'm going. And I promise you, all of you that are wanting it, I'll help pull you through on the other side too. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Pray for me often. Hallelujah. And I know that you do. Glory be to God. I exalt you, Jesus. I appreciate everybody that showed up last Wednesday and last Sunday, or Sunday before when I gave the mic to Homer, and then last Wednesday. And all of you guys have been carrying a lot of this in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm in the flesh enough now to tell everybody what He did to me. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, I said, after 3 or 4 weeks, I don't know, time goes by fast, I had those two people sing, Deanne, and my cousin was here. And that's right. What was it, Kathy? Filet mignon. He said, you wanted to make it? I said, wasn't that wonderful? Something like great. And he said, yeah, you want to make it 3 in a row? And I said, something like, after you've had filet mignon, why would you want a bologna sandwich? And we all heed and haw, and it was good. Because Homer was asking, did I want him to sing? And of course, I didn't, and we didn't. I said, why would you want it when you could get a bologna sandwich, filet mignon? Now, he does. There's only one restaurant in town that I think makes better ribeyes than Homer. And he sears them real good, like I like them. And he seals in the juices like I like, and we both eat them medium rare. And he's every once in a while, out of the blue, because he loves me, he'll just send Rosie over with one. And that's heaven to go to heaven in. And after I made that statement, it was on a Thursday night. We had ate late in the afternoon. Candy had fixed something late, so I thought, you know, we don't need nothing too much. She said, you want anything? No, I said, we don't really need anything this late. But I was out on my bike in the garage, and I was working up a sweat, and it was getting kind of later on. And you know how you say you're not going to eat, and then you think, hey, maybe I would eat if somebody... Their big Suburban pulls in, and I look, and what's Rosie doing? Rosie gets out. She has a covered plate with aluminum foil on it. She goes, Homer sent you a ribeye. I said, my God, set it right there. Set it right there. I was going to go like 30 minutes or something. Whatever it was, I said, no. This is God. He has sent me provision. He has sent me provision. I wanted her to know how earnest I was before she backed out of the driveway. She was halfway out. I got off the bike. I said, exercise later. I know what's under that aluminum foil. I picked up that plate. I thought, he didn't send me a big steak. I pull that open. Here's your big old sandwich, white bread with bologna in between. May have been ham or something. I don't know. Bubba got it. I'm like, I have never been so highly humiliated in all my life. The boy wants to sing from now on. He can sing. He can sing. I'm getting back in good grace. Hallelujah. How many would like an opportunity to give this evening? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And get the mic and give us a tremendous prayer here. Hallelujah. How many of you remember to pray for my sister? Glory to God. Praise. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate it. This, of course, is the offering. And Marcia, pray over it. You got any words of Oh, Marty and Gay, they're not here. They're probably working. No? Gay's here. Man, I have been praying up a storm every time I smell those. I've been, you know, smell the orange blossoms. You know, Pastor Christie, I talked to him. He'll be, I think, here in April. I'm going to give you a date soon. But he said, and I wasn't even talking to him about Martin Gay when he said this. He said, I didn't know what was going on with America. He stays up on a lot of foreign stuff and America stuff, the financial stuff. He said, there's no bees. There's no bees across the nation. It's a hard thing, you know. What? They're here. Hallelujah, they're here. So they said, what it is, it was having a problem pollinizing the crops of wheat and all that stuff, and then they're having a problem with the wheat. A lot of stuff. Like I said, well, we've got beekeepers in our bunch. And they're doing good, and we're praying for them. Hallelujah. So how many believe God? He's our provider. Amen. Hallelujah. Marcia.
Well, I just want to share how the Lord ministered tonight and everything is what I've even been experiencing in my own life. And I know others have too, but it's like I just got so tired of all the pressure, like Pastor was talking about, just being so pressurized. But I just was determined, I don't care, I'm going into God. And the Lord's been getting me up in the nighttime, and I've been praying and worshiping and reading the Word and meditating His Word. And when I don't feel like it, even in the daytime, I would still just go in and pray and worship and meditate the Word and bask in His presence. And even that Wednesday night when Homer preached, I think it was this last Wednesday, and I did the worship. And we had that time where there was that such a presence of the Lord. That's what God wants in all of our lives, for us to bask in His presence and have it every day of our life and to spend time with Him, and whether we feel it or not, but just saying, and I've had to do that. You know, I worship up here on Sunday mornings. Every Sunday I'm here, and on Wednesday nights. And I'm telling you, there's been many times that I didn't feel like worshiping and I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel a presence of God. But I said, I don't care. I said within my heart as I'm worshiping the Lord and praising God, I was saying in my heart, God, I don't care how I feel. I don't care if I'm feeling anything emotionally or not. I'm worshiping You. And I'm choosing just to keep on worshiping. And I had some dry times, but I just kept worshiping. And I'm telling you, you wouldn't even know by my facial expression that I was having a dry time. Because I was determined, I'm pressing into my Lord, and I'm coming through to the other side. And I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep going into God. I'm going to keep basking in His presence. And He comes. and we come through to the other side. So praise God, I didn't need to get in the line tonight because I already had experienced it in my life, and I'm sharing it for all of you that was in the line. Just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. Those things that go to come against you in your flesh, just keep running to Daddy. Just keep running to Papa Daddy God, because He will meet us. Because He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is always there for us. We're the ones that leave Him. He doesn't ever leave us. So we can just jump right in. And there's one thing that I remember that John Osteen, he's already with the Lord. But I remember years ago, one time I was in a service of his, and he even shared about, you can be in the presence of God no matter what is going on around you. He said, there's times I've been worshiping the Lord and in the presence of God, and this was when his kids were younger, and he said they'd go and mess up, and he goes, and I would just correct them right there in the service, and he goes, and I would enter right back in to the presence of the Lord. I wasn't going to let anything interfere with me worshiping the Lord and being in the presence of God. And that's how we need to do. No matter what comes our way, we can jump right back in the presence of God and focus in on the Lord and be determined to go with God. It's praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Heavenly Father, we praise You. We thank You. Father God, I thank You for victory in our lives. And I thank You, Father God, that You always come through and You never leave us, You never forsake us, that we keep pressing on into You. And Father, here's another opportunity to love on You, to worship You and adore You, God. Lord, I just can't get off of that since You showed me that, how giving financially is worship. It's worship unto You, God, that we can worship You in our giving, Lord. That's a form of even a high worship in You, God, is giving unto You. So, Father, I thank You that not only do You give seed to sow, but You give bread for eating and seed to sow, God. And that there's abundance, God. That there's abundance in every area of our lives. And God, we want abundance in finances because we want to finance the kingdom of God. We do want to pay the way for people to come. We want to pay the way for people to go. We want to have so much abundance, Father God, in the financial realm, Lord God, that we can do whatever You want us to do. There's no holding back, God. There's no holding back at all, God, because every need is met. Everything is supplied super abundantly above all we could ask, think, or even dream about. And Lord, that can deal with anything in our lives. But right now, we're praying about the finances. And Lord, I praise You and I thank You that Lord, that we take the time even before we come, that we take the time at home and we say, Lord, what do You want me to give today? Lord, what is that amount? What is that figure You want me to give? And Lord, I thank You that we will be quick to obey You. We won't be moved by our circumstances or our situations. And we'll just sow that money. We'll give that money into Your kingdom, God. Give it unto You in worship, Lord. So, Father, I thank You for Your multiplication. Oh, Lord, Your multiplication isn't like the world. Father, I thank You for Your multiplication in the finances, Lord, that abundance comes to this house. And as it even comes in this house, it comes to all of our houses, God, so that we can give into the house. Father, I praise You and I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Lord.
Hallelujah. should bring this tonight if you have something. And man, come on down, buddy. It's right there. That's yours. Right there. This one right here. Put it right here. Thank you, sir. All right. Perfect. It's a way to teach him. Hallelujah. I don't know why, but he knows why, that there's an anointing still on me. Usually, just end it. So it's either that I've got to pray for people or we're supposed to continue to worship. And that doesn't matter, mean that you're not dismissed. You could bring this and quietly slip out. But he's wanting more. Something he's pulling on me. So you can consider yourself dismissed. Matt will put something on. And maybe it's just a worship and it'll come off. But it may be that somebody really needs something too. So if you did have a need that didn't get represented, I've got to obey him. That's all I know. Hallelujah. So I know when it's over and I know when it's not over. So for you, if you need to leave, it can be over. Hallelujah. So when Matt puts this on, he'll dim the lights and you can bring it forward. But if you want to stay and worship just a little while or you have a need, that's okay too. God bless you. Amen.